Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville, Patreon edition. I'm your host, Zach Morin. It's just me. We are changing gears for the commentaries. We are doing episode commentaries on Smallville. And when I say we, I mean me, because it's just me. This will be unique, doing one by myself, doing commentaries by myself. But if anyone's listened to the podcast for any length of time, you know that I could talk for a long time by myself, especially about Smallville. So I think I'm able to fill the time. Lance and I did over 50 commentaries on superhero movies, comic book movies, and we were kind of coming to the end of ones that were exciting to talk about, right? I mean, there were some left that would have been fun and all, but we were saving the Marvel Cinematic Universe for the end, whenever the end came, and the idea of Always Hold On to the MCU came about, and we're like, you know what? Let's change gears. Let's start that new podcast. I'll do commentaries myself on episodes of Smallville. Much easier to coordinate, by the way, when you do something all by yourself, especially since Lance is going to be on Always Hold On to the MCU. And of course, he and Kev have Arrow going on, Always Hold On to Arrow, so you guys go check that out. And yes, the three of us, me, Lance, and Kev, will be doing Always Hold On to the MCU. Now on the Avengers Tower tier on the Patreon. So where does that leave the MCU? Well, that's there. So where are our commentaries? Where does that leave those? That's me doing commentaries on episodes of Smallville here on the Talon Theater tier on the Patreon. So imagine that. Patreon content for a Smallville podcast that's about Smallville, right? So, I know that, a lot of us, our fandoms, they touch a lot of different areas, right? So, some of y'all might be really excited about, Always Hold On to the Flash, that's fun, or, Always Hold On to the MCU, right? Or stuff like that. That's exciting, but at the end of the day, this is a Smallville podcast, so the more Smallville content I can put out, the more it's more guaranteed that you guys will like it and enjoy it, and that's what this is, right? So I'm going to be going through episodes of the show. I'm starting with the pilot. Obviously, where else would you start, right? And then it'll just be a random selection of episodes. I'm thinking I'll put out some polls sometimes for you all to pick. I'll pick a handful of episodes and say, hey, vote, and let me know which one you'd like to hear me do a commentary on, and we'll pick them that way. But we'll do some that I've covered before, some that I haven't covered yet on the podcast. So it'll be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to it just as much as hopefully you are. So more Smallville content, more, fun ways to revisit episodes. That's what's fun when you can, revisit these episodes in different ways through commentaries and whatnot. And just an excuse to relive it. And that's kind of what these will be. And hopefully they'll just be just as fun as other commentaries you've done. Obviously, again, it's just me. So it'll be a little bit of a different vibe probably, but I, like I said, I think I can hold it for 45 to 50 minutes when it comes to the pilot anyway, length. And let's talk about that. I will be talking about the broadcast version of the pilot, which if you have your Smallville Blu-rays, which I hope you do, which I got mine for Christmas, and I'll be doing all these commentaries based off watching those. The broadcast version of the pilot, which is about 5 minutes longer, so maybe more than that, it's about 50 minutes. And the average episode of Smallville is like 42, 43 minutes. So 7 or 8 minutes longer. It has some scenes and little parts of scenes that are not in the syndication cut, if you will, of the pilot, which means when the pilot first aired on October 16th, 2001, it had a little less commercials, a little more show, special presentation kind of deal. And after that, they had to cut it down to fit into, rerun time slots for an ABC Family, for example, or if it ever re-aired on the CW or the WB, at the time. And for whatever reason, that extended version, you call it extended. That's not the extended version. It's the episode that ended up on Hulu. And, I've got so many messages about that. Like, are there scenes missing on Hulu in the pilot? Yes, there are, right? But that's like the edited version. They've switched the terminology around. This is not an extended cut. This is the cut of the pilot. But that's the one I'm going to be doing, because I know that's the one we're all probably most familiar with. And if you saw the DVDs, that's the one that's on there. But it is a special feature on your Blu-ray. And I'll talk about some of the Blu-rays too as we get in here, because definite pros and a little bit of cons for the Blu-ray, but we'll talk about that. But yeah, you know, if y'all want to pop in your disc and set your timer to 00000, I'll count you down 3, 2, 1. When I say play, you press play, and you can watch and or just listen along with me. So, are you ready for an adventure? Because we're going to a little town called Smallville, just outside the city. So here we go. 3, 2, 1, play. Very 2001 A Space Odyssey opening here. Spaceship is not the spaceship we see later on in this episode or in the rest of the series. A headcanon, you could say, oh, that's an outer shell for the spaceship, but we see it on Krypton, and it looks like the Lawn Dart spaceship, as fandom went on to call it. October 7th, 1989, as we learned in Season 7. That corn looks good, but I think it's composited or it's CGI. I'm not entirely sure, but it does look different than the surroundings. Queen Industry CEO presumed dead. Look at Lionel, fresh off of killing the queens. This, of course, taking place immediately after the scene from Veritas. Different actor here playing little Lex, but that's, you know, this was 7 years before. You have a destiny, Lex. John Glover cast as a one-off character actor to play Lex's dad and becomes an integral part of the show, and I will testify to the fact that he's the best actor on this show. Jonathan and Martha. Something that they never really touch on other than one or two more times over the course of, I think, the first season, and then Nell moves to Metropolis and they never talk about it again, but Jonathan and Nell having dated in the past, I like that. That's a fun wrinkle they could have had a lot of fun with, but they don't really follow up on it much, so. I'm all for the old people. Old people have drama too, right? Why don't you play into some of that, right? But parents are at the homecoming game. You know what's funny is Annette O'Toole and John Schneider, they really do look, you know, 12 years younger than they do in the show. I mean, they had a youthfulness about them as well, and that was such a cool thing about the Kents in this version of the show. And since they're younger, they'll, of course, both live on into Clark becoming Superman, right? Nope. But Martha wished for a son, or a child, and she's about to get her wish answered. Yeah! Looks like Smallville won again. Now, there is an alternate version of the pilot with Cynthia Ettinger. There's a shot from the opening credits here. This is so identifiable now. But Cynthia Ettinger was the original choice to play Martha Kent, but they actually recast her when the pilot went to series with Annette O'Toole. I'm not really familiar with Cynthia Ettinger's work. I know she's in an episode of... She's in an episode of Lois and Clark with Michael McKean. Strangely enough, this is Lionel taking over the Ross Cream Corn Factory. I do like that Lex throwing a rock at a bird, by the way, back there. A Smallville crow, if you will. Establishes him as a sociopath because, you know, apparently sociopaths like to abuse animals. So that shows he's got a little darkness in him. Even nice, innocent kid Lex here, right, as we are... led to believe he is in, but no one's, you know, that's the point of Smallville, right? No one's all good or all bad. Dropping that asthma there, inhaler. That was a fun touch for Lex to have him with an ailment like that that's cured by the meteor shower. The meteor shower giveth and taketh away. It takes away his asthma and takes away his hair and... Scarecrow. Boom. Now, that being the biggest boom, I'm going to think that's Clark's spaceship. Maybe, maybe not. But no, there was, I guess my point about the that scene with Martha and Jonathan was, and there are slight differences in the unaired pilot with Cynthia Ettinger Everything else is pretty much exactly the same, but in that scene where Jonathan's like, oh, looks like Smallville won again, he says instead, in the Cynthia Ettinger version, he says, oh, looks like Smallville actually won a game, which is more fun. Here we go. Lana's parents. Let's just slowly walk across the street. What's that coming at us? Boom. That would be traumatizing if you were a child and you saw your parents smushed by a meteor rock right in front of your eyes, right? And yeah, I still think the meteor showers is a genius way to cover up an alien spacecraft to land on Earth, as Lex describes it later this season. Or actually, that's season two, I think, when he's talking to Clark about Invisitor, when he's talking about the alien spacecraft theory. But this would be terrifying and traumatizing. You understand why, you know, you get Lana here. That's the cover of, you know, Time magazine, as it becomes. But really smart to do this, because obviously you have satellites and things that would, hey, that alien ship just crashed in the middle of the heartland. Let's go check that out, right? And one, I draw the line at one meteor shower. A second one is a step too far. You know. Lex! You know, is Lionel wearing this exact outfit in Veritas? I feel like his shirt is different. And I just covered Veritas, and I should have been paying attention. I feel like his shirt is white, but maybe it is blue. I'll have to take another look at that. But, oh, look at this. My God. I always thought Lillian was going to be a redhead, because Lex is redhead. And Lionel has a thing for redheads, but she's not. There's some great acting from John Glover coming up here. I mean, it always is, but he's desperately searching for his son, but he's so disgusted that he's bald. Like, he's alive. Lionel doesn't care. He's just disgusted by the fact that his son is now, you know, different, right? Kent truck accident plus one, am I right? That's why you wear your seatbelts, boys and girls. Well. Why did you say that name, Jonathan? There we go. Now, here's a thought. And Superman the Animated Series did it this way, and I think this is the best way. I think Clark should have been sent to Earth in suspended animation. Like as a 3-year-old. There's something about him being a little older when he leaves Krypton. That's interesting that he's not just like a newborn baby. A lot of times he is literally a newborn baby. And what happens in the 3 years? I mean, how does he eat? How does he go to the bathroom, right? I mean, how does he breathe, right? I'm just saying, like, suspended animation solves all those things. That's the artichoke spaceship. Definitely not from Kansas. That's the artichoke spaceship, as it's been called in fandom. Now, the edge of it does kind of look like the lawn dart one, but, you know, we see the lawn dart spaceship on Krypton, so that really throws everything off. I would tell people we just found him out in a field. We didn't find him. He found us. Actually, what happened was, Jor-El was here about 40 years ago, and he wandered onto the Kent farm and thought the Kents were nice people, so when he had to send his son somewhere, he sent his son to Smallville, Kansas. Now, with that in mind, he probably should have sent him to the actual Kent farm. Maybe they couldn't get the coordinates just right, but today, 2001, Clark on the internet, fastest man alive, Flash reference, speed reading Clark, where is this computer? Is this in his room? Pepsi? Mountain Dew? Product placement? I missed this product placement back when I did the pilot. Where did you learn your manners? On a farm? Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Is this not the first day of school? We are less than 10 minutes into the pilot. And we're already breaking the what day is it, what time is it? Honeycomb. God, there are so much product placement. Yeah, I agree with Jonathan. Clark should never play football. Most of the guys hardly even play. I agree with Jonathan 100%. I don't think Clark should ever play sports. And this round is very well covered in these first few episodes of season one. And the fact that Clark wants to play football again in season four is strange. Rewatching the show, it didn't bother me as much, I guess. And I know in like the comic books he has, but all I want to go do is go through high school without being a total loser. Clark, look at yourself in the mirror, bro. You're going to be fine. Let go of my honeycomb. Or it's actually let go of my ego. What is the honeycomb phrase? I don't know. Clark Kent or Marty McFly? You tell me. Why does he have a skateboard? Stop the bus! This is a year before Spider-Man, too. Kent Farm mailbox is very different than we see later on. Let's keep an eye out for changes like that. Clark. Oh, Chloe and Pete betting against Clark. Taking the bus, too. This is a very famous shot. You see, that's in opening credits, of course. We've gone from the cream corn capital of the world to the meteor capital of the world, and the population has gone up by 20,000 people. 45,000 people is not a small town, by the way. Special guest star, John Glover. Yep. Why would Clark jump over the bus and make a noise? That makes no sense to me. Oh, Luther Corp. Making America a better place to live. This establishing shot is used forever. Man, Pete, you just cut your own chances. It's all here. Pete's entire character is established in this scene. Yeah, friend thing. Directed by David Nutter, by the way. Took a shortcut through a black hole. So, Clark, you have a backpack. Why are you carrying all these books? Seriously, why did he jump on top of the bus? That makes no sense. Makes no sense. Just to establish Chloe is the one looking into mysteries here in Smallville. Scooby Mystery Machine! Home room. Now, the back of all these Smallville high school jackets works, but the front of it works. They're consistent with the show. But the front of them changes. There's like an S shield around them and the pilot, and it's not in the following episodes or seasons. So this is a rather extreme homecoming tradition to take a freshman out to the field, string someone up like a scarecrow by their boxers. So this would have been, and I mentioned this before on the podcast, why they did not do an episode of season four where Clark, becoming the quarterback, like, changes the hazing and says, we're not doing this anymore. Like, that would have, to me, something like that would have really redeemed the football revisiting in season four and kind of justified it, right? Because it's like, yeah, man, like, use your status to help others, right? That's what you should do, right? And that would have been a good learning experience for Superman, like, kind of as young Clark Kent, like, becoming in a leadership role. Here it is, Nietzsche. Here's the line of the series right here. Dark Side, teasing season 10 already. So what are you, man or Superman? If I haven't figured it out yet. Yep. Ask me in about 10 years. 9 years, I guess. Well, 9.5. Hey, boyfriend. Obstacle boyfriend character. Getting his freshman girlfriend to help him with his homework. Dude. Like you're about to hurl. The kryptonite necklace is a very good conceit as well. Although we didn't hear like the sound effect or anything here like we usually do. Oh, here it is. And drops everything. Playing the bumbling Clark Kent works, you know? Do we need that? No. But they decided to do it in the last like five episodes of the show with Clark. It was odd. Tom Welling played it very well. I always think of the Booster episode where he's like, oh, I'm in the bathroom. I had a milkshake on my way in, and, you know. Freak of the week. There's some deleted scenes from the pilot that have Principal Kwan in them. Principal Kwan. A lot of season one episodes. Till he dies in season one, and then gets replaced by Principal Reynolds. Special Principal 2, as I called him, because that actor played one of the main characters on Special Unit 2, short-lived show on UPN. There he is. Locker Room's mom and his skull nub on the back of a shaved head. Looks so young here. Thanks, Dad. I think I say Dad like Lex. Learned from the show. Oh, that's Lex! Thanks for showing us, show. Metropolis license plate, too, because we don't want to... Haven't really decided that Metropolis is in Kansas yet, but... Whitney's number 12 here, huh? I wonder if he's number 12 in the other episodes. Lana being a cheerleader. She was a cheerleader for all of 3 weeks. There's the opening credit shot right there. Clark, I mean, way to be a loser, man. Watching football practice by yourself. You want to stay off the football team's radar, don't go to football practice and not play. Now, this scene here, I believe this fantasy sequence was cut from the syndication cut. Marching band, represent! See this right here? I'm playing Arizona State, apparently, playing the Sun Devils. This is why you can't play football, Clark. Because you're just clearly cheating. Like, this is totally not fair. How can I support this? This is so obvious, too. This is just like The Amazing Spider-Man, where he, like, shatters a backboard and bends a goalpost. I'm glad they dropped this, like, Clark fantasizing trope, honestly, because it happens here and that happens at the end of the episode, too. I mean, we've all been there, but come on. How do I look? Like a tackle dummy. There you go. That was a gif of Tom Welling there we see all the time on the internet these days. And here comes Sam Jones III, opening credit shot. There was also, you know, a deleted scene of Lex meeting Chloe's dad, played by a different actor. That actor goes on to play the mayor of Smallville on Superman and Lois. That is a stunt driver right there. Clearly not Michael Rosenbaum. That's why he went to the plant. So odd to see him arrive at the plant, and the next time you see him, he's driving home. So. Loeb Bridge, as we learn. Or is it? Yes, that's correct. Named after Jeff Loeb. Writer of Superman for All Seasons, which heavily influenced this show. Don't text and drive or talk and drive, both hands on the wheel. There it is. Boom. Amazing practical effect. Used in the opening credits for several years, as it should be. When Smallville started using CGI cars, they started to be less impressive. Love that flip phone, Lex. Clark not thinking about the forensic evidence of saving someone like this. I love how like this is a plot for this season and for many years, really, of Lex's suspicion of Clark's powers due to the forensic evidence showing like the roof of his car was ripped off. And that's great. I love that about this season, the subplot of this season. But Clark does that all the time, and I wish there was more, like, that should have taught him, like, oh, I just can't rip a door off and throw it 20 feet, you know? Could have sworn I hit you. You're right, Lex. If you did, I'd be dead. From the very first second they meet, Clark is lying to him. That's a shot from the winning credits, I think, as well. Maybe not. Maybe it's just on the D DVD covers and stuff. Smallville will return after these commercials. Check out that red blanket. He's wearing like a cape, y'all. Maniac driving that car. You diseased maniac. Mold this box into your prison bars. Sticks his hand out. Doesn't shake it. I'm sure you would have done the same thing. Oh, Clark. Drive slower. This tells you everything you need to know about these three guys right here. The cape's flapping in the wind. No, this was the opening credit shot of Michael Rosenbaum right here. Yeah. There we go. This is a song I remember from the pilot pretty well. Oh, no. The incomplete Fortress of Solitude set. They still got that chest right there. Good on them. But a lot of sets here not completed yet. Lana, your next door. Literally the girl next door. This is creepy, bro. We can't be doing this. Look at him. Look at him smirking like that. This is what George McFly got in trouble for in Back to the Future. And we're here celebrating this. So far, our superhero, he wants to use his powers to win at football games by cheating, by being better than everyone else, and spying on a girl he likes who has a boyfriend. To think I got my world compass from watching this show. Oh. So they're home alone. I don't like this. This is Eric Johnson's opening credits. Oh, you think Clark's cool? Well, he's a scarecrow now. Then he's like, "Yeah, there's a scout. Scout coming to check me out. I'm cool too." Don't want to be remember him. Don't worry about that, Whitney. Take my necklace. Word to the game on Saturday. What day is it? What time is it? And that might not have been the first day of school we saw, but it was the day that they had to turn their football permission slips. So okay. Bad luck. Good luck. There we go. That's the shot from the opening credits. Eric Johnson. How old are you and how old is she? That's why Clark's disturbed. Lana has a thing for older guys. What can I say? This exact shot here of Clark is used, I believe, in Shimmer, if I'm not mistaken. Because an episode ends and it's Shimmer, right? Because there's the whole sunset thing, and then at the end he's pieing on them and they're happy and he's upset but he did the right thing, but it's still tough. This guy goes on to play the Dark Archer in Smallville Season 9 Disciple. So, he's got a goatee and stuff there. He's got the Milo V vibes from Heroes. And, of course, this is us here. I'm getting from this guy. Freakazoid. Electric power guy who doesn't age, apparently. What should you tell your friends about me? Oh no, it's the guy from the picture. Sweet, a new truck. I like it when Clark wore normal clothes, by the way. Not red and blue jackets and red and blue shirts. The maniac in the Porsche. Yeah, good luck with that, Clark. This is obviously a reshoot scene because the Nitto tool's in there. And now we go back to the original pilot. Back when they had a bigger budget, they could use machinery like this instead of, here, throw this hay into the back of the truck. So you deserve a prize? This is a good conflict here between these guys. You drive the new one, I'll drive the old one. It's not like they can't afford it. Jonathan's going to instruct Clark on the ways of the world here. It's a nice one there, flashy gives. Where the money that came from that bought that truck. Well, you know, I'm going to say that he's guilt-ridden because he sold the cream corn factory, or helped the Lionel buy the cream corn factory from the Rosses, gave Lionel foothold. I think that all lineage tracks, I think. As much as we joke about Veritas not tracking with the retconning, lineage tracks. Clark, you just broke a $20,000 machine. Hit me at 60 miles an hour. I'd give anything to be normal. I would even give him my powers after being Superman for 8 years on this farm. Which is fine. Insert shot of Ned O'Toole from shot months later. And I believe that's her last scene in the pilot. That's a wrap for Ned O'Toole and Martha Kent in the pilot. Here we go. Incomplete Fortress of Solitude barn and the incomplete ship's heart prop here. Man of Steel lifts this scene, but does it very well, so it's fine. Because Kevin Costner really is the movie John Schneider, I think. Now, when they... This prop... Look, this is great. David Nutter, great director, right? The framing of them behind the telescope, like talking about he's from another planet. They both look at it later. That's great. This is not Kryptonian. This is very like Roswell. You know, if people are familiar with the Roswell UFO crash in 1947, that whole story. People say there was metallic objects with hieroglyphics on it. That's what inspires that. Where her parents weren't exactly from around here. Where are they from? And cue both slowly turning and looking at the telescope. What are you trying to tell me, Dad? I'm from another planet? Maybe. Insert Jonathan Kent maybe here. Spaceship in the attic? Actually, it's in the storm cellar. There it is, the artichoke ship. Lois and Clark has three ships, so does Smallville. You are my son. Clark, why do you think you're so much bigger, stronger, and taller than everybody else? Has protect me from what? We wanted to protect you. I wanted to protect you. That is the line of the show. Has Clark never been in the storm cellar before? After all these years, he's never wondered what's on that tarp, you know? It took Jordan and Jonathan like 5 minutes in the barn and Superman and Lois to find a spaceship, right? Smallville graveyard changes a lot. It's me. Do I know you? Oh, yeah, Clark. We spoke earlier. He's got wings. Now, this is referenced in the last scene of Veritas between Clark and Lana, which is the last scene that Kristen Kirk was really a regular on the show, having the angel statue with the wings. This is very Batman Mask of the Phantasm inspired. This was apparently the scene that they cast these characters on. Clark and Lana, what's your story? Yeah, I'm here too. apparently, I think Clark Tom Welling forgot his lines or Kristen Curry helped him out or something, and that's where they saw, oh, look at the chemistry. And it was really just that one of them had forgot the lines, the other one helped him out, and they thought it was cute. And then we got them as the characters. And, acting-wise, Kristen Kirk's great as Lana. They run out of things to do with her, and they take her to some crazy places. But I like this, the character of Lana Lang is this representation of Smallville, right? And I think Superman and Lois does that really well. So for all the crazy things Lana goes through over the course of the years, you forget about this young girl who, lost her parents. And anyway, holding hands already. Look at you, Clark. So watch this side by side with Mask of the Phantasm with Andrea Beaumont, Dana Delaney, who goes on to voice Lois Lane. 1980, so they were 50, or no, they were 30 and 32. You know, speaking of retcons, that's another retcon, right? This is not even her dad. That's something they, they totally dropped Henry Small, obviously, after season two. But when Lana is doing a Flatliners and visiting her parents in the afterlife and stuff in Void, they could have brought that up. Hey, you're not my dad, but they didn't want to go that way. I feel like your life's meant to be something different. It's supposed to be something different. I misremember the line. But sometimes that's all it takes. You get one heart to heart, you meet at the right time, people connect, and it sets into motion the 7.5-year epic love story between Clark and Lana on this show, for better or for worse, I guess. What's that? I'll tell her. Smooth, Clark. Clark here with the kind of longer hair and the tan jacket reminds me of Christopher Reeve in Superman 2 when he's Clark without his powers. And, shooing for homecoming queen. Look at you, Clark. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they said all that. Spider-Man say all that? Yeah, something like that. Wait, didn't she ride up on a horse? Oh, okay. I get it. She put the horse in that barn. You got me, show. Longest conversation we ever had. We should do it again. Hey, you going to the dance? Oh, yeah, your boyfriend. Nice try, Clark. Yeah, it's a choice. Totally your choice to not go, Clark. I'll save you a dance. Don't know. Oh, kiss on the cheek. After the longest conversation they've ever had. Again, right place, right time. They connected on a level. She was feeling it. He was definitely feeling it. But guess who else was seeing it? Whitney stepping out of the shadows intimidatingly on the porch. I think Whitney's in the right here. Oh. The incomplete Luther Mansion set. Yet to be refined. But you know what? That's fine. They're clearly remodeling the place. Fencing in the opening credits. Lacks with his temper. How'd you get past the gate? Heidi's officially kicked my ass for the day. Dead in the market for something to haunt. Rosamond is so good. With her ancestral home. Lies! Yeah. At least my father claims. Oh, so they moved... Hold on a minute. Clark remember... This is a huge continuity problem. Clark remembers this happening, right? But in season 8, young Lex is there in flashbacks with Davis. That's a serious problem right there. I was about to give them credit and say, you know what? The reason Lionel had this built here was because of Veritas, right? Because the Traveler was going to arrive and all that. But no, they just screwed that up. What about you, Clark? You fall far from the tree. Aww. So you're gonna walk home without the truck, or you believe a man could fly? Sure, in a plane. Flying is stupid, Lex. I'm never doing that on this show. See, that's what's interesting. Like, it's something that's under the radar for the show, but Clark, it's established that he can change destiny because he is, in my head canon, right? It's because he's not from Earth, like he's outside of the natural order of things, like he can change destiny, right? And so by saving Lex's life, he changed his destiny, but then he has to also change destiny and stop him from, you know, the prophecies of him. Or, you know, from the visions that we see of him becoming president and destroying the Earth, in theory. So, nuclear holocaust from Terminator 3. We have a future, Clark. We have a destiny together. Only on different sides. That's what's so great about that series finale, you know? As much crap as we give it, that scene there between Clark and Lex mirrors them here in the pilot. Chloe with his camera. Third guy this week. Love that smell of a grocery bag right there, by the way. Let's take his picture. Jeremy Creek. Maybe he just doesn't age, because that guy looks 25 to me either way. 26 today. Clark, you're 26 looking, and you're supposed to be 15. Coma for 12 years, electrical imbalance. So an electrical imbalance has you not age? Okay. This is, look at this. This is like, I guess, the library. Haven't built the Talon set yet. Or the Talon. They haven't built the torch. Look at me, still doing that. Mixing up the Talon and the torch. Haven't built the torch set yet. Exposure to the blast. It's something to his body. You know, that's fine once or twice, but how many? How many times? So Chloe's been here for a year, so I buy that Clark hasn't seen the Wall of Weird yet. Maybe this becomes the torch office. But it's kind of a storage closet. I don't know why she has access to this. Wall of Weird! Talent schizo. Clark has the realization. That's from the opening credits, too. Why did you tell me about this? We all keep secrets, Clark. Ooh, Allison Mack saying that hits differently these days, doesn't it? Say it. Say Lana. Say it. There it is. That's got to be the word Clark says the most on this show. My fault. I buy the guilt because he's like, he came to this meteor shower and he brought all this death and destruction to Smallville. Much like he saved Lex Luthor's life and brought this death and destruction to the world. Okay, I guess this is Friday, right? Getting ready for the big game. Congratulations, Clark. This is your scarecrow. Ooh! Good thing Kryptonite was there. Clark almost pulled a Batman vs. Superman. Would have punched your head off if there wasn't kryptonite. This is odd. You like this necklace? Why don't you wear it? All right, Jeremy Creek observes. Nothing ever changes, huh? There it is. The promo poster, DVD cover. It's the Blu-ray menu cover. And it's also a Funko Pop. Funko Pop has shoes on, which Tom Welling did in all the set photos, but probably they didn't realize that that was just behind the scenes. There he is. Never changes. It's like poetry, it rhymes. He said the same thing he said. Dude, those are different people. It was 12 years ago. They got to punish the current kids. Which I guess he's about to go do, right? Yeah, notice we never see Clark's feet in this. He's not wearing shoes. Never made it to his homecoming dance. You're safer here. Uh-oh. Fertilizer plant. Convenient timing there. Flashback. Just so you guys understand that he recognized the guy he saw. I guess that wasn't a memory that got wiped out in Veritas, am I right? Maybe he'd forgotten that until just now. Memory's coming back already. Now, this tracks that Clark is as close to the Luther Corp plant because Lex was close to the Luther Corp plant when he was a kid because of the Kriegkorn factory, and that's where he found Jeremy Creek. So that all tracks. And the necklace just falls off. Now, convenient? Oh, Clark realizing that without the meteorox, he's okay. It's nice of them to leave his... They're picking up his shoes! He was not wearing the shoes! Confirmation that Funko Pop is wrong. Well, what's this? Lex Luthor discovers kryptonite. Now, notice how Whitney ripped it off his neck and then tied it around Clark's neck. Kind of break the necklace. Kind of a dick move, Whitney. But that's why it would just fall off when he got off the Scarecrow post there. So I buy it. Oh, look at you guys. Pete and Chloe in the opening credits scene there. There was more deleted scenes, too, of Pete and Chloe outside waiting on Clark, I think. Look at that in the shadows. I like it. People aren't your friends. He's right. I have a gift. I have a purpose. So do I. Yeah. And throws him 20 feet. But, unlike in future episodes, that's not the end. Okay. Oh, look at that. He's still got his hospital thing on. Has he been wearing that armband on the hospital for 12 years? Apparently he can start cars. That's fine, I guess. That's clearly some kind of stunt double with a bad wig on. Ooh. So yeah, more to it than just throwing him 20 feet. That's what you get with that pilot money, you know? Uh-oh. Now, Tom Welling, He appears on Mike Rosenbaum's podcast Inside You pretty frequently, and in his most recent episode, he was talking about this. They're throwing the door off. Did you learn nothing from the save earlier? It's fine. He was talking about this scene here, and he feels like this is like a the name's Bond, James Bond moment. Because he says, "Who are you? Where am I?" And here it is. Clark Kent, near in Smallville. Stay tuned, more Smallville coming up on ABC Family. He's right, though. That's like the, that really is a Bond, James Bond moment. Amnesia count plus one. Not the most epic battle, but look, it had spent a lot of money on that meteor shower at the beginning. And you don't want to set the bar too high, because then, you know, when he just throws people every week, it, you know, it's kind of a letdown if they set the bar high in the past. Look at this lighting. Cinematography here is so good. David Nutter, such a great director. First of all, Clark, these aren't free. So would you pay $20 to get in here, just walk in there like that? And you look so disappointed that the girl that you like is there with her boyfriend. Shocking. She says she saved one dance for you. You could at least try. But anyway, if there's one constant character trait through all Superman, Superman is a jerk. He is going to mess up his truck. Here it comes. The comeuppance for putting Clark in the cornfield. There it is. Did Lana see Clark? Did she not? We'll never know. So how does that explain? Like, you know, like they think somebody got a piece of construction equipment and did that? Let's talk about the telescope. You okay? Answer that in about 5 years. Because it's a 5-year plan. I'm glad you and Mom are the ones that found me. We didn't find you, Clark. You found us. A heartwarming tale of adoption and chosen families that is completely undercut by the predestination of Jor-El sending Clark to Earth to be found by the Kents. And we see the flip side of that when he's found by the Luthers on Earth 2 in season 10. Look at that boombox! Here it is, everything. A top 10 Smallville song if there ever was one. Again with this fantasy stuff, right? It's like... Lana. You know, they do have that shot of her, like, did I see Clark? That's the only thing that makes you think this could be real, right? Fill my heart. And I do like this becomes like the love theme of season one, really, because it shows up again in the season finale in Tempest, and it's like Whitney and Lana's love song, right? He puts the CD in and they dance to it. I thought that was cute. But at the end of the season, I'm really shipping Whitney and Lana. They did a good character development with him. Stand here with you and not be moved by you. See, this kind of stuff makes you think Labyrinth might be real. Clark, you just invented this fantasy life to cope with all your issues. Yeah! Oh, and I stand here with you and I'll be moved by you. Thanks for the dance, Lana. Did she hear him? Did she? No. Opening credit shot, too, by the way. Better than this. And cue the music. Cause you're all I want. You're all I need. Now, in the DVD release of Pilot Metamorphosis, This is the episode. This is when it turns into metamorphosis. It pans up and pans back down, and we go into the like the tree outside Lana's house and Greg Arkin there. And that's how I first experienced the pilot. But I thought about doing that version for this commentary, but it's like, you know what? This is the version everybody has the most of. So there you go. The pilot of Smallville. And I got to say, like, we first started the podcast, I think I gave this like a B or a B plus. That's, I mean, what am I doing, right? But I think really that's because to me, metamorphosis has always been the second part of this. So in retrospect, I didn't want to set the bar too high with the grades, but this is a good A minus A kind of pilot. I'm not going to like re-rate every episode that I do a commentary on, but I always do want to like, I always feel bad when I look at that. Like, I give the pilot a B or something. So there you go. That is the pilot of Smallville. The pilot with no name for the show with the finale with no name. So there you go. Hope you guys enjoyed that. That was fun. Tried to keep the conversation going so there weren't too many awkward pauses of nothing for those of you, because I'm sure a lot of y'all just listen along and not just watch. So yeah, there you go. One episode in the books. And I'll be back for another one soon. And until then, always hold on to Smallville.